turn with me to Psalm 119. So this is, I think, the fourth of the series on the statements in Psalm 119 with regards that are statements of requests, asking for those things that God has promised to us. We started off with Daniel, and I went through comfort and reviving, and now perseverance. Psalm 119, verse 116. Psalm 119, verse 116. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. The promise of God's upholding hand in our lives through our in our difficulties, it is repeated. The thing about Psalm 119 is that we have the request and then just the kind of a pointing to the God's promise. But certainly elsewhere in Scripture we have such promises. Psalm 34 is statements of a great opposition that the believer is called upon to go through. The opposition, more so from the world, in Psalm 37, verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And certainly it's the case whether it's the world or the flesh or the devil. The believer is not in a position where he sees clear sailing throughout the course of his Christian walk. It is the case that he is not only buffeted, but as Psalm 37 says, he falls. Now, he's not cast headlong so that he can't get up, but he does fall. And so the need for the knowledge that God is the one who is upholding me is of great necessity. Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The notion that the Christian life is a steady state, that it's straight and level, that there's nothing that sways or is a problem for the believer, is number one, wrong, and secondly, the idea itself sets the believer up for falling. The believer is so often called upon to be watchful, to be ready, to understand his position, that Satan will come at him, that the world is always ready by means of the flesh to tear him down. If we don't understand that, then we are unwary and we'll find ourselves flat on our backs, or we may be just off in left field sometime and don't know how we got there. And so the fact of the rocky nature of the Christian life, but at the same time the promise of God for his own, that we are not sufficient of ourselves, but that God is the one who is upholding the believer where he is necessary. So the first point from Psalm 119, verse 116, is that God has promised. The second, in beside that, is the a little more of the nature of the conflict, which I have just been attempting to describe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." He says, "We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair." The fact of the matter is that we have promises, as we've just seen, that God upholds the believer. It's also the case that God has put the believer in difficult places so that we will see that those enemies arrayed against us are far stronger than we are. And that if we're not depending on the Lord, we, number one, will fall, and number two, that our strength and our growth is only in the Lord. And that's what the apostle is saying here. We have these treasures. We have a great treasure in eternal life. Christ himself. It's not as if that he gives us eternal life and at the same time makes us into supermen. What I just read here in 2 Corinthians 4:7 says to the contrary. We have these treasures in earthen vessels. The nature of the Christian life, then, is not that we are strong, but that we are weak and he is strong. And that highlights our text, where we see the mature believer, which is this entirety of this Psalm 19, is a series of cries from the mature believer. He's not saying, you don't see some advanced kind of technique in the Christian life, as if this was, as I say, Buddhism, and you know, he's this sensei and he knows all and tells all. If there is that, it's that he knows that he's weak. If there's a secret to the Christian life, it's knowing weakness. We see it. The Apostle Paul, as the experienced Christian, we see the experienced believer here in Psalm 119, verse 116. The experienced believer knows that he is weak. And that is the nature of experience. That is the nature of having gone on in the Christian life, is knowing not only conflict, but the nature of real weakness. And lastly, the knowledge of weakness and the knowledge of the enemy arrayed against us, including the promise of upholding, causes the believer to cry out, "Uphold me." We have a promise of being upheld. So the believer just kind of strolls down the road whistling. "I'm going to be fine. God's going to protect me." No, we see this earnest cry, "Uphold me." And that is the line, and that is the place that God causes us to be in, to know that he is strong while we are weak, and that the nature of our strength is in our weakness, and that we cry out to him. And often it is not even a strong cry. It's a weak cry. And he is pleased to hear it. So there is conflict plus difficulty. And it doesn't just mean, well, I claim the promise of his upholding. Or I just broke through it in the flesh. But the psalmist, like Paul, is recognizing the reality of the difficulty. That I can't just overcome it, just kind of bowl my way through. Would be some of our tendency. Some of our tendency would be to shrink back. Some of our tendency would be to just kind of, well, I'll just do this. And then that's when the Lord allows us just to be laid out, at least spiritually. The right answer here, knowing who we are, who we really are, is to appeal to the Lord for real help. And that's what we see here. Uphold me. This is not a thing, well, I know that it's my job to ask for help. This is real asking for real help. Real asking for real help with real expectation of that help. Uphold me according to your promise. You have promised I have real need. And you notice here the bigger context of it. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. This is a long game. This is a recognition of lack of strength in the long term. We cannot live other than day to day, but we recognize that if we are to persevere day to day to day in the long term, that we will have need of God's strength in the long term. We cannot just say, well, I'll be happy-go-lucky and I'll just always ask. There is a response that is needed, and a growth that's needed for me to even be able to look out in the worst of trials. There is a growth that says, how, as the proverb says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Even though our strength is not the strength that throws Satan off, nevertheless, it is a real component of our response in difficulty. And so there is a looking to say, in the great trials that the Lord may put me through, will I still be a believer in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, when I see great disappointment in my life, great difficulty in my life? And that's where the psalmist is. Don't let me be ashamed of my hope. That I've made it thus far, but it can be dashed against the rock of difficulty and disappointment and hardship. I've made it thus far, Lord. Continue to help me. Give me that which I have need of in the long haul of whatever comes. So prayer is asking for that which is needful now, and since we have hope of heaven, we can ask for that for the long term as well, and that is what we see the psalmist asking for, and it is legitimate and needful for us as well. Let's ask the Lord as we move forward in this time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you call us to prayer where we are. But Father, we do ask that we may see our weakness that we may see your strength. And we do pray that you would keep us along the way where you're putting us. We do pray that we may not be cast headlong where we are. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.